Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Verse 11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you today. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you hear and answer our prayer. Lord, and the others that are hurting and are sick, Lord, we reach out to them, and might they know that your hand and your spirit is with them, as well as the love of their church. Lord, we thank you for the many unspoken requests that you are just now answering. Lord, you know our need before we ask, but we ask that you might show us your hand. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's start off with a little story. In seminary, they said you start a sermon with a funny story, with a shocking story, something to get the people's attention. Well, one of the things that I've known about this church, you don't need much to get your attention. You're here and you're ready to listen because you want to be more like him. Alfred Lord Tennyson, back in the 1800s, he invited a Russian nobleman to his estate. Of course, Russians were a little different than we were in America. And one morning he got up and he went out hunting. He took the dogs and the guns and some servants with him. When he came back, Lord Tennyson said, well, how did you do? And he said, well, I shot two peasants. And he said, they're pronounced pheasants, P-H here. He said, no, he said, two peasants got angry with me, so I shot them. Whether that's true or not, he got angry and shot them. We read every week, or we see on the news every week, someone that gets cut off in traffic, or someone that will not let someone in, and there's a gunshot, and someone gets killed. Just because someone got angry. And I want to tell you this morning, the Bible has a lot to say about anger. And there is no place in a Christian life for it. And you say, but preacher, you don't understand where I came from. You don't understand. I have my dad's genes. You don't understand. I understand. Try explaining it to God. Because he's the one that may not understand, because he said you are a new creation in him. Behold, all things are passed away. And he said, it is time for you to start living like me so that you can draw people to the cross. It isn't about defending your territory. Matter of fact, God said something about turning your cheek if somebody smite you on the one cheek. He said, if they ask for your coat, you give them your shirt. Those things aren't in the Bible just to be good stories. They're in the Bible so that you can have a good life. I saw a video this week of a bulldog. And it had really gotten angry at the bulldog it was looking at in the mirror. And it'd run towards that bulldog, and they would just hit, and like they were going to fight. And every time that bulldog swung his paw, the other bulldog swung the same way. Till he almost beat himself up. Anger does that. When you carry anger and you allow anger to take control of your life, it will beat you up. You're the one who will always lose. The Bible talks about sudden fits of anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. That's flying off the handle. That's deciding when somebody says something, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Let me tell you something, that's a piece you need. Hang on to it. Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. That's jumping to conclusions. We all have that. But that can be controlled, and it's controlled by self-control, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says, that we're all supposed to have if we are walking in Christ. Proverbs 19:19, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you fly off the handle and you have a hot temper, you're going to pay a penalty for it because you're going to cause a lot of dissension. And you say, well, preacher, I just can't control it. I've tried controlling it. You can't control it on your own. That's where you turn it over to the Spirit of God because it's a gift of the Spirit of God. And by the way, you can control it. Because if you've ever been in a heated argument and the phone rings, yeah, hello. You can get control of it. The thing of it is, we don't want to control it. Because we live in rage and the rage is within us rather than the Spirit of God being in us. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it's said that a people long ago, do not murder anyone, or murderers will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject unto judgment. Anger isn't something that always just pops up on you. Sometimes it's something that you carry with you. It's called a grudge. And the Bible says if you're carrying a grudge with your brother, you will be subject to judgment. You say, but preacher, you don't know what they... You can still forgive. I had a problem 20 years ago with my oldest son. He got very, very upset with me. And I remember it went on for almost a year. And he called me and he said, Dad, I'm sorry. And I said, I'll be down and take you to lunch tomorrow. He said, you're not upset with me? I said, I've never been upset with you. I forgave you the day after that happened. Sometimes we just need to allow God to work. But you know, when someone is sorry, sometimes we're not ready to take it because we're carrying the grudge and we're looking for vengeance. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We focus on people, and whenever your anger is focused on people, it's focused on the wrong thing, because God wants people in heaven. He wants all people in heaven. He came that none should perish, but all might have everlasting life. So if you are upset, you may be upset with the situation, but you need to forgive the people so that it doesn't become a grudge. Because a grudge, you will wait. And when God wants to move, you won't be willing to move. Bible says in Romans 12:19, do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, saith the Lord. So can you just give it up and give it to Him? I have no enemies. There's many people that don't like me. But that's what we ought to be able to say. I have no enemies. Someone said, well, what about if you're a soldier? You've got to be angry at the enemy. No, you've got to be in love with your army. And it's the love of your army and of your friends and your country that you keep marching forward. A war isn't won by hate, or many wars would have went the other way. Wars are won by a care and a love for people. The American wars get won because we love freedom for people. We don't like to see people enslaved. We want to see people free. We want them to have choices. So it isn't out of hate. And if it is out of hate, it's a war we don't belong in. Do not take revenge, my friend. That's a command. Remember when Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda and there was a man laying there and he was crippled from birth and he couldn't get to the pool for the angels for to heal him? You know what Jesus asked him? Seems like a dumb question. And it seems like a rhetorical question. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" I think that man for the first time looked at himself and said, "Am I satisfied with being sick?" Some people are satisfied with being sick. I heard a story about a man came walking out on the water and there were three men in the boat. And this man that walked on the water, he touched the first man and he said, "I know you've been having trouble with headaches. They're gone." He touched the second man and he says, "I know you've been having financial problems and I want you to know they're taken care of." And the third man, he said, "Don't touch me." He said, "I'm on disability." Satisfied in his sickness. Jesus said to the man, "Do you want to be healed? If you have a temper, if you're carrying anger, I guess the first thing that I need to ask you is, do you want to be healed? Or are you sitting here debating the message and saying, 'Pastor, you don't understand my anger?" No, I don't. Do you want to be healed? A lot of people enjoy being angry. They're stubborn. And it's an anger they decide just to keep there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And the next verse says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." That means if you're angry, get over it and get over it quick. It means don't carry it outside of the building. Don't carry it outside of your work. Don't carry it outside of your family. Don't carry it outside of your home. Do not walk around with a chip on your shoulder just waiting on somebody to touch on it so that you can pounce. That's anger, and that is against what God is teaching. Some men go to get home. They come home angry because they're angry all day at work. They don't like their boss. They don't like their work. They don't like what they're doing. The wife says something, and the first thing they do is they start talking about the things the wife hasn't done because they've got a chip on their shoulder. They're unsatisfied with themselves, and anger comes from a dissatisfied soul. And only Jesus can satisfy my soul. Only being filled with His Spirit and knowing that He created this world, knowing that He went and prepared a home for us where we'll live forever and ever and ever, and knowing that the dead will rise again and we will be with Him, knowing that He can fix everything and make our way, is knowing who God is. And when you know who God is, we leave it not unto our own understanding, but we can give it to Him, and we can lay down at night, and we can go to sleep, and we can say, "I do not hate. And I'm always willing to forgive." Aren't you glad that God's always willing to forgive? There isn't a time that you don't come to Him and ask forgiveness that He isn't there and say, "I'm willing." Someone said that Jesus said, we know Jesus said this, they said, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" And He said, 70 times 7. There's a part of Scripture one wrote in there. And the disciple says, it's easier to forgive than to do the math. So we forgive. Jesus meant that. Paul mentions what happens when Satan begins to get a foothold in your mind with bitterness. First result is bitterness. You begin to think about all the bad things people do and say to you and the insults and all of the inconsistent things that they go on. Then Paul says, after bitterness comes rage, and after rage, anger. After anger, rage is expressed. It's no longer just inside you. Now you can begin to kick the cat and hit the wall. Now you begin to say all kinds of things until finally it becomes brawling, which means shouting loudly and slander and insults. The end result of it, Paul says, is malice. And malice means that you really desire to harm someone. Would you really let a cancer loose in your life? Do you really want to let it loose and see where it might go? And the Bible says that all we need to do with anger is to give it up and give it unto the Lord and see a big God, a God that's bigger than all of our bitterness and all of our rage. Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's all kinds of anger and we wrestle with them, but there is no kind of anger that is acceptable. Well, preacher, what about this thing that people call righteous indignation? I'm sorry, but the first word doesn't belong there. But didn't Jesus get angry when he went into the temple and he upset the trading tables? Jesus was direct, but he didn't hate the people. He was changing a course of action. And you can change a course of action by standing up. And standing up, if you stand up and you're angry, you're not going to succeed very far. But if you stand up and you clear a path, and that path is a godly path, you'll have people that will follow. Because right, people have a tendency to understand it. But the Bible teaches very specifically all the way through it, that if you've got a big God, you don't have to harbor any of this. You don't have to blame anyone. I know people that have had trouble as kids with one another from the time they were kids, and as adults, they never grew up and got over it. I know situations where husbands and wives have lived together and have not communicated with one another because they carry this hurt, which turns into wrath and anger. They just don't give it up. Trust God, and your life will be a lot better. Be angry and sin not. That means when it comes up quick, you quench it. When the devil tells you to carry it and he starts putting other things in your mind, you confess it. And you decide you're not going to let the sun go down on it. Wow. So if you can justify carrying it, you can't carry it past sundown. You can't wake up with it in the morning. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, the question is, Do we want to be healed? Question is, are you big enough to defend us? Or do we have to defend ourselves and then ask for your blessing upon it? Did you really mean it when you said to turn your cheek? To carry the load 2 miles rather than one when we're asked? Did you really mean it when you said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Lord, I believe you meant it. And you meant it so that we could have a better life. Help us not to be like the bulldog that just fought himself till he beat himself up. Help us be willing to forgive, willing to embrace your peace that passes all understanding, willing to have the faith that it takes to walk above any circumstance that might come up at work or at home. We'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.